Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, happy Friday, everybody. It's your boy DJ Gatsby, a.k.a. Mr. Grown Sexy. You tune in to WBMG Radio. I'm your host, the voice of Reverend Linton. I'm back with my radio show, Spotlight. Sweet, we got my man Arthur Hakeem Stokes on the show. He's making his first appearance, and we're excited to have him in the spotlight tonight. Brother Hakeem, are you there?
Yes, peace and blessings. How you doing, Brother Gatsby?
All right, I'm good, man. Listen, man, I saw your number come up. I saw your number come up, but I wasn't really sure which one, because we got a couple of people that called in already. Now, are you 267 area code or?
Yes, sir.
314.
Philadelphia.
All right, you're 267 area code. Yeah. All right, first of all, assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah, my brother.
Alaikum assalam, my king, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, man, thanks for being so patient. For those that don't know, I spoke to Hakeem a few months ago and tried to get him on the show, but I was having some technical difficulties and we wasn't able to get the show going. So, you know, I appreciate your patience and understanding, you know, with me getting back to you and being able to do the show specifically on short notice. I think I just got at you a couple of days, man, ago, and see if you could do this show on Friday. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt. Anything for you, brother. It's all good.
I'm going to do your bio. First of all, for everybody who don't know who Hakeem Stokes is, he's a South Philly native, three brothers and three sisters, first son in love with writing in the fifth grade, produced several short stories, and also illustrated and penned a series of comic strips. While at junior high, says you use creative writing skills to transform short stories into rhymes, and while in high school, the rhyming evolved into poetry, and you've taken your passion for wordplay literally and cultivated into realizing your dream of writing. Now, is that pretty much a short version of what's going on with you, my brother?
Yeah, no doubt. And actually, it's a little, I think we put a little mistake on that because I actually fell in love with writing in third grade. I had a third grade teacher that challenged me. Well, actually, it was an assignment that she gave the class to do journal writing and whatnot. So we all were doing journal writings. And it was, you know, a little short assignment, I think a week or something like that. And afterwards, she just was like, wow, like it really wasn't a graded assignment, but she just read mine and she just was like, you know, floored by it. And she just was like, I love the way you write. And, you know, this is just third grade. And she was just like, I love the way you write. And, you know, everything sounded like a story, and, you know, I'm like, wow, was it unbelievable? She was like, yeah, but not in the way of like, oh, I thought you were telling a story, like lying or whatever. It's just the way you wrote, the way everything was written, and the way everything had, you know, context and storylines and this, that, and the other. And she just challenged me to continue writing for the rest of that year. And I just had, at the end of that year, I just had, you know, a few books, diaries rather, for her to read. So, you know, it kind of got the bug from there. So by fifth grade, when I really realized that I had the gift was bestowed upon me, it was when I did a play. Because between fifth and eighth grade, I had did a few short plays and whatnot. And when I was in fifth grade, I did this play about space because I'm like a closet Trekkie. And my teacher was just amazed at the storyline and, you know, different elements that I put in there as a, you know, just being a 10-year-old. And it was just one thing that I hushed the crowd at one moment because the astronaut was lost in space. And he was like, well, why did you do that? And I'm like, well, space is quiet. There's no noise in the vacuum of space. He had just taught us this a couple of weeks prior. And most of the play It was a couple of scenes that were dark, and you know, I shut the light off and just opened the shade slightly, and he was like, "Why did you do that?" And I'm like, "Space is dark, you know." So it was just like little things, little nuances that I did that he just promoted my gift, and he, you know, helped me cultivate it in different ways and whatnot. So I thank those two teachers, my third grade teacher and my fifth grade teacher, for, and of course my mother. And God,
okay,
for promoting my gifts.
Well, it's good, man, to see, you know, teachers and educators recognizing gifts and talents in young people. A lot of times the parents don't. In your case, you said your mom or your parents were very supportive of your writing. But it's good that, you know, that you have a story with educators. But a lot of people fall in love with reading and writing at an early age, but their, you know, their interest kind of fade as they get older. But
yeah,
man, congratulations on you know, starting at an early age, man. Listen, first of all, I'm gonna get right to it, man. I have a few questions for you about your writing career, and also your personal life. I talked to a lot of authors, you know, over the years, and did a lot of interviewing. I want to ask you a few questions. The first one is, what did you feel is the best thing about being an author? You know, what is the best thing about being an author, a writer, a publisher, you know, just being in the literary business?
Just honestly, just being able to express yourself, like, especially in this day and age, where as though a lot of folks are, you know, stifled, it's just a wonderful mm-hmm. thing to be able to express yourself fully. You know, I love all art forms, whether it's dance, painting, literature, you know, all forms of music, and I'm heavily into all as well, either as a you know, as a spectator, or you know, I'm in into the performance of it. So I just love the expression of it, and most times, most writers or any art form, you're coming from the heart. You're giving your your all. You know, you're giving what's inside. You're bringing it out, you know, as your form of expression. And it also is your mark. It's your lineage. You know, whatever is inside that you bring out is usually so deep. And so you're leaving your mark on the world, and hopefully you're leaving a wonderful expression with everyone who sees it or everyone who experiences it.
Yeah, yeah, man. That was very deep. I like that, man. I ask that question of a lot of people. A lot of people have, you know, different things about the industry or about the actual act of writing and sharing your words and thoughts on paper and having it published, man.
Okay.
But, yeah, I like that answer. Now, what do you think is the worst thing about, you know, this industry about writing and being an author, man? What do you think is the worst thing about the process or about, you know, the nature of what you do?
I'll probably have to say,
I know
just,
it's a lot.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's I respect it all. You know, I respect it all. I really don't have too many ills. It's just that I would like to promote more togetherness. You know, and
mm-hmm.
We're all guilty. We're all guilty of that. I mean, we all, you know, try to be more friendly or more kin-like or what have you. But
sure.
I'm not a fan of the separation. Like, you know, some folks write this form, some folks write that form, some folks just do this and that. But I'm just like, don't, you know, I hate the modern terms, but, you know, let's hate on each other. Let's just be together. Let's root for one another. Let's be a fan of each other. You know, even if you don't like what they do or how they do it, just, you know, help them, you know, along the way and root for them. And hopefully, you know, one day their work will be, I guess, up to your standard or what have you. You know, like, we're not, you know, the judge, you know, the final judge and author of our lives. But, you know, we can try to promote each other to do better and to continue to do great work. That's one of my only knocks. And I try to do that myself. You know, I'm not 100% with it, but I try to do it myself. I try to do way more congratulating than hating.
Yeah, no, I get that, man. There's a lot of separation. There's a lot of animosity, competition, just hate
in
any business, in any creative art form. You got people with their opinions on whether or not you're good or whether or not you're bad. But a lot of times they go further than that to separate themselves, you know, from you and or the industry. And, you know, I see it.
Right.
I see it a lot, man. I see it a lot. Once again, everybody, it's DJ Gatsby. It's WBNG Radio Show. We're here with Hakeem Stokes calling in from Philly. Hakeem, I want to talk about your books, man. I wasn't aware that you had written so many books. And I'm sitting here looking at 6 books that you've done. And I Need You Too, what is it, Reality, Life, Conscious Struggle, or At 12 After, Elixir, Contact of Intimacy, The Purple Orchid Syndrome. Man, Elixir, the list, the list is very extensive, man. I don't know the chronological order of the book, but what was the first book that you published?
My first baby was I Need You Too, and that is a novel. I started out, I guess you could say, my first work was my first introduction was actually being a poet. I used to do poetry in the tri-state. I'm from Philly. I used to do a lot of poetry, primarily in Philadelphia, South Jersey, Northern Delaware, and then some. You know, I did a few venues that were in D.C., Baltimore, and New York, but that was mainly in my.
You got around
team,
a little bit.
Early, yeah,
you
in
put
my
your
early 20s.
In, man, as a poet. Looks like you did a lot of traveling as a poet.
No doubt.
Now, so is
no doubt.
Reality, Life, Conscious Struggle, the second book?
Yes, that's the second book, and that's a book of poetry. So usually after I do a novel or a project, I try to couple that with a book of poetry. So the order is I Need You To, a novel about a young man that realizes the virtues of monogamy. And then there's Elixir, which explores 4 stages of our existence. That's a book of spoken word. And then my next novel is At 12 After. And that's a story of 3 men that grew up together as best friends. And unfortunately, at the age of 12, they had a tumultuous experience that happened to them and threw their lives into peril. And it just tells them how their friendship fared in light of it. And then right after that, I did Ear Elixir, which is another book of poetry. I usually say it's hotter than summer's nigh as the equator. And then I went on to do Concepts of Intimacy, which is another book of spoken word. And it's basically poetry that traces a relationship, courtship, to nuptials. Because unfortunately, a lot of young brothers or a lot of guys, period, aren't sure or don't know how to court the sisters. They don't know how to, show them their worth, to actually approach them on something real and offer them, you know, themselves. And in turn, unfortunately, there's a lot of young ladies or grown women that have never been courted or don't know what it is to be courted. So that's why I wrote that book of poetry. And my most recent work is Purple Orchid Syndrome, and that's candid conversations with 12 men about their relationship with their fathers. And that's what I did. I interviewed 12 men between the ages of 21 and 71 on their experience of growing up without a father in the household. And the brothers were very honest, very open. They let me ask them everything under the sun. I asked some 36 pointed questions. And unfortunately, the one that was that resonated with everyone, including myself, was that because I'm a product of that environment. I grew up in a single-parent household with just my mother. And the question that really, brought everybody, some of them, to like tears was that they never heard their father tell them that they loved them. You know, and that's important.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, for your father or your parent, your mother or your father to tell you that they love you, or yeah. that they're proud of you. That's two things that yeah. I think every child needs to hear. You know.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk more about that specific book. That was a book that introduced me to you and your work. I haven't had a chance to read it or even review it, but we're going to mm-hmm. get to that book a little bit later on, you know, in the interview.
No doubt.
Once again, everybody, cool to an African American Lit Blog Talk Radio Show with my guest, straight up out of Philly, author Hakeem Stokes. Now, we got somebody on the line that's calling in from the 314 area code. You have a question or comment for Hakeem? I guess maybe that person
Hello?
Is just holding on. Yeah, maybe they're just listening. A lot of times you got people that are just listening. But
okay.
anybody else who's out there, whether it's online, if you want to call in, please call in 917-889-2866, WBMG Radio Show with DJ Gatsby. Found of DJ Gatsby's book club, as well as Who's Who in African American Literature. And we got my man Hakeem Stokes in the building. I want to give a quick shout out to my man Maserati Styles and Styles Inc. On the upcoming concert with PMB Rock, December 30th at the Chase Theater in Poughkeepsie, New York. Tickets are $45, and you can also buy the tickets at
for you.
What is that ticket?
Hold on, I want to go to the store tonight.
Excuse me, you're on the air with Hakeem Stokes. You have a word or a comment? I'm sorry, young lady, I see you call back in. You have a word or a comment by Hakeem Stokes? Are you just going to listen, or? Wow, she dropped the call again that time. Anyway, I've got a few shout-outs, man. Congratulations to Raquel Williams. She's been nominated for a literary award. Wonderful, wonderful author and publisher. Good friend of mine. She's been nominated for a very prestigious literary award. I just want to say, you know, congrats and good luck to her on that. Also want to say congratulations to Elvin Nelson Hayes. Yeah, man, Elvin Nelson Hayes on her new bookstore. It's going to be a bookstore boutique. Actually, we'll be selling a lot of things in there. She actually went, you know, as an author from the street to the flea market, and now she's got a mall in the store. She's also screenwriter and has adapted her book into a film. So congratulations, Elvin Nelson Hayes, out there.
Yeah, awesome,
and,
awesome.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. She's a hard-working chick, man. And she's out there in Oakland.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding. God bless her.
Yeah, man, dedication, hard work, you know, you can get there in some way or form, but you got to have a vision, and then you have to be determined. And I see, you know, from your story, you know, like you said, somebody noticed your writing at a very early age, and I don't know where your life went between then and publishing your first book or becoming a poet and a spoken word mm-hmm. artist, but obviously something mm-hmm. resonated, you know, with that. That enabled you to continue, you know, on that path, man, and you know, recognizing your talent. Now, what is the name of your publishing company and the website that these books are available at? I'm going to talk about it later, but I couldn't pronounce the name, man. You know, so,
yeah,
you know,
it's,
I didn't want to give you the name.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. It's pronounced Asophile Books. Asophile Books. That's A-S-O-P-H-I. Yeah, A-S-O-P-H-I-L-A Books. Yeah, and that's
the
definition. Yeah, the website is www.asophilebooks.com.
Now, you were about to tell me what the definition of that name was. I'm sure the listeners are excited to know. I am. What is the meaning behind the name?
Yeah, I was... you know, I usually research a lot of things, you know, material and things of that nature. So apparently the definition is the hardest substance known to man. And I was like, wow, that's very poignant as far as, like, you know, my life, because you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Like, I'm some old crazy rapper. Like, you know, I had a lot of, you know, heartaches and pain, but, you know, I did. I had a lot of, you know, hardships, but, you know, what doesn't kill you just makes you stronger. And, you know,
absolutely.
I had a, you know, outstanding mother that, was my backbone. And, you know, she helped me through those hardships, and she gave me the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to get me through. So I was always, like, growing up, I was always stronger than most, you know, and I always paid attention to the elders and always spoke with the older brothers. And, you know, a lot of them would always pull me to the side, you know, whether I wanted them to or not. And they would, you know, they would tell me, like, young brother, blah, 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 and they would always bestow some kind of wisdom upon me. You know, and they always say, you know, you're different. You know, I could tell you're different. You know, you shine, you know, you outshine the other brothers, you outshine the other, you know, like a jewel. So, you know, don't waste your jewel, don't waste your shine, you know, stuff like that. So I'm very thankful to those brothers, you know.
Yeah, yeah, big shout out to all the brothers that are out there, like mentors or big brothers or in some cases fathers. Now, this lady's calling back in again, and I don't know who it is, but I heard her saying something to the kids in a minute.
Right.
Yeah, hello, young lady calling in from the 314 area code. Would you have a word or question for Arthur Hakeem Stokes?
I don't. I just want to listen.
All right, where are you from, sweetheart? What's your name? I guess you just want to listen. You can just listen. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We're just curious to figure out what city you're calling from, what state. Just have an idea because, you know, we got people calling in from everywhere. But if you just want to listen, you know, please feel comfortable to do that.
Okay, anyway, I'm calling from Missouri.
All right. Got Missouri in the building. Got somebody calling from Missouri. She want to remain anonymous. There's nothing wrong with that. It's cool. We don't need names and any other affiliations. I'm sure Hakeem is grateful and appreciate the fact that you called in and listened. So am I.
Indeed.
And thank you for your support, my sister. All right, Hakeem, back to you.
Much.
Now, you mentioned that last book. Which you said is a book about 12 young men who grew up with our fathers or male role models in the home. And you had a list of questions that you asked them in order to kind of get an idea on how that situation affected them. What were some of the other questions, man, you know, interesting questions that you asked? You said the guys were age up to 71 years old. What were some of the other questions, man? And tell us a bit about that book, man. You know, drop some jewels because I'm interested in reading it now because, you know, every black man has a unique experience growing up and a unique relationship with their mother and their father, whether they're in their lives or not. So tell us a bit about that book, how you came up with the title, man, and what made you want to write it?
I was raised by – you know, a single parent mother, single parent. I was raised in a single parent household by my mother.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of things I went through and a lot of things I had to figure out on the fly and a lot of things that my mother couldn't teach me. And that, like I said, that's why I went to the old heads and they came to me and I paid attention to them. And a lot of stuff, you know, because, you know, no disrespect to the sisters, to the mothers, you know, the aunts, the grandmothers, and things of that nature. But they can only take you but so far. It's other things that you need from your father or it's things that you need from a male counterpart, you know, who's my older and positive.
Sure.
And so, you know, in that, I knew that my struggle or that portion of my life wasn't unique. And, you know, the more and more brothers that I spoke to, you know, when I was younger, you know, brothers I was like, you know, cronies with back in the day, you know, they all had, mostly all of them had the same situation or, you know, if their father was, quote unquote, in the household, he was kind of like in and out, in and out. It was a revolving door situation.
Yeah, he was there.
And, you know, I knew a lot of brothers that actually had their fathers there, but, you know, unfortunately, he was working two jobs, working 18 hours a day, and things of that nature. Nah, he was just there to sleep, eat, work.
Hey, man, let Pop got to do. Pop going to do what Pop got to do, you know what I'm saying?
You mentioned before about
the love and affection and the ability to teach, you know, young men how to love and how to show affection. And, yeah, man, that's lost in a lot of families. You can't teach what you don't know. You know what I mean? In a lot of situations, you know, young men are just, you know, encouraged to, you know, to get it how you live, you know, go for what you know, learn it on your own. I can't teach you.
Right.
When you go out there in the streets, you're going to have to do what you got to do to be a man and make it on your own out there. So I get that part, man. And just to read the book to get more in depth. On what it's about. I have a couple more questions to you. The show's going to be over in a few minutes before we shut it down. Who is the most influential person? Who's been the most influential person during your writing career, you know, your poetry and spoken word career? Who's the most influential person that you've encountered?
Man,
I know you have mentors or people you admired and stuff like that, but, you know, who would you think? I know you mentioned your mom.
Yeah, she was very influential, man. Just watching her struggle to survive, just different things that, you know, she did to raise us. You know, she raised three boys on her own, and she didn't ask for any help. You know what I mean? She was independent. So I'm like, if she could do it, I could do it. And she taught us to be independent. She taught us to be self-sufficient. Don't ask anybody for anything, because you can do you better than anybody else, you know. But as far as writers, you know, poetry, you know, poetic writers, you know, Nikki Giovanni.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, Maya Angelou, you know, Langston Hughes. You know, I like a lot of the older writers.
Those are Renaissance writers you're talking about right there.
There's a brother, and I believe he's from Harlem, older gentleman, very, very distinguished gentleman, one of the first poets that I actually ran into. His name is Mr. Horace Mingan. God bless him. He's a wonderful brother. And he took me under the wing very early. James Baldwin.
You back with all the people that I fell in love with reading about, and those cats, and that list can go on. We could talk about that in depth at another time, man. All right, now, another question I have for you, you know, what is your creative process when it comes to writing? I mean, you know, you'll get a title, you get a thought, you know, you'll get a vision. And then you got to go through the process of, you know, coming up with the book and writing the book and you know, to a finished product where you're ready to put it out. What is your creative process when it comes to just, you know, hey, listen, I want to start a new project? What's your inspiration?
I'm not a virgin to researching. You know, I like to know what I'm speaking about. And a lot of things, I let it come from the universe. I hate to sound so corny, but I let it come from the universe.
It
the topics
to
of
you.
I believe it's more natural that way. I don't like to force anything. And that's how I Need You Too came, because it was that thing of, you know, I wasn't at the time, but I spoke with a lot of brothers, and it was like unbelievable how they didn't realize, like, yeah, you know, you're young, and it's not that you're being a player. Not all of them, you know, like say, not all men, but, you know, they're not all trying to be players. They're trying to figure out, and that's what I Need You Too taps on or deals with the most. It's a brother that's traveling through his young, you know, his early 20s, trying to figure out what sister he wants to be with the rest of his life. Because, you know, marriage, hopefully, you know, till you die, to death do you part. And, you know, hopefully that's going to be a long time. So you're trying to figure out what sister you want to deal with or be with, have a relationship the rest of your life and build the rest of your life with. So that's very deep in itself. And I let it come to me. And when it hits me, when the spirit hits me, when the universe talks to me, then I research whatever the theme is or whatever the thesis statement is, and then I go for it. You know, I do my outlines. You know, I sit in the room. I got to be by myself. I got to have on old school jazz, you know, Coltrane, Miles Davis,
get the mood,
you know,
right?
Things of that nature. That's right. Got to have the incense lit. You know what I mean? I got to try to be one with the universe and just let the inspiration come to me.
Yeah, yeah, I like that, man. You're really in touch, you know, spiritually with yourself and your artistic talent, and you know how to get in that zone or that creative zone or put yourself in that position where, you know, you can just let, like you said, you know, the energy or the universe inspire you, motivate you, or just lead you on whatever path that is for the project. Now, the last question I got is, what advice do you have for, you know, young people out there who aspiring writers who want to get into writing, poetry, or spoken word? You know, what piece of advice would you give, you know, the aspiring writer or author or spoken word artist? You know, and you know, as far as the talent and how to be a student of the craft, because you mentioned research,
right.
But a lot of people just
right.
don't know how to channel that energy that they have, and or, you know, to be a writer.
Indeed, I would say definitely. First of all, do it. When I'm at different festivals, when I'm at different workshops and things of that nature, you know, I have a mentor group that I deal with. I tell them, do it. Don't let anyone convince you that you cannot do it. It's only not done because you hadn't done it before. You have to do it. And they just say, well, I'm interested in writing a book. I'm trying to write a book. And I say, well, how far have you gotten? What have you done? They're like, oh, nothing. It's in my head. I'm like, well, you have to get it from your head to paper. You have to express it. Just get it out. Don't worry about the order. Don't worry about how how it sounds or whatever, because that's just a rough draft. You're going to go back and manipulate it the way you need it to be. But just begin. Just begin. Don't worry about it. Just get it into the universe. Just get it out to the atmosphere and let it flow.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. We're still here. DJ Gatsby, WBMG Radio, with the man. The dude is articulate, intelligent, man. You're dropping jewels here. You know, I feel the wisdom and knowledge that you're sharing, you know, with our listeners, man. And this is why I was excited about getting you on the show, man. This is really why I was excited about you coming on, man.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Hakeem Stokes out of Philly. He's the author of quite a few books. You can get him at his website. I'm not even going to try to announce it, but, you know, his latest book is The Purple Orchard Syndrome. All right, man, before we go, man, anything you want to share with, you know, with the listeners, you know, where they can see you at? You got a sign-in, you got readings, where they can follow you at on social media, things of that nature. Anything you want to say to the listeners before we go?
Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate you taking up your valuable time and letting me take up space in your mind. My name is Hakeem Stokes. I'm an author from South Philadelphia. You can inbox me, or you could just see me on Facebook at Hakeem Stokes, or you could follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr, and whatever else is out there. I'm usually on it, LinkedIn or whatever, but I'm under Asophile Books, and that's Asophilabooks. And if you would like to make a purchase, you can go on Amazon.com, Kindle, and you can get a book off of there. And you can also go under www.asophilabooks.com. That's my website, asophilebooks.com. Thank you very much for this opportunity, Brother Gatsby.
Yes, sir. My pleasure, man. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come sit down and chop it up with me, man. So once again, DJ Gatsby, WBMG Radio. This is The Spotlight. We're here every Friday, 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week, my guest is going to be Arthur Sherrod Tunstall, talking about his book, Beating the Odds, a very talented author. And we can't wait to have him on the show. In the meantime, make sure you follow DJ Gatsby's Book Club on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, follow Who's Who in African American Literature on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our website, www.whoshoinafricanamericanliterature.com, to find out about all the interesting authors, writers, and publishers, and people in the book business that support what we do. Hakeem, I'm going to say peace, man, and thank you. I'm sorry, is that our friend listening in over there? You still there, sweetheart? I heard her say something, man. She hanging up the phone. Anyway, Hakeem, I'm out, man. We'll chop it up at another time, man. I want to talk to you about your latest book. We'll get a copy of that book, too, man. And, you know, I'm not just a fan. I'm also a reader and a book reviewer, also known as the book promoter on Facebook and Amazon, man. So, you know, we're serious about this thing here. All right, so peace, man.
No doubt. I've been following you, man. You've always been doing your thing, and I'm very glad that you're back on the radio. I'm glad you're back on the airwaves and back in social media, man. You're a very important brother to the culture, and I'm grateful for you for being who you are, brother. You know, Shukran Allah for you. You know, very, 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 very influential brother. I appreciate you.
All right. Before we go, two more shout-outs, man. Happy birthday to Harlem Chrissy. You know, she out there in Harlem. Happy birthday to that young lady. You know, she's been a real big supporter of what I do. Surprised I didn't get her calling in tonight. But it's all good. Like I said before, man, don't forget that Maserati Styles and Styles Inc. upcoming concert. PMB is the artist. PMB Rock will be live in concert at the Chase Theater in Poughkeepsie next week. We got the Sherrod Tunstall, author of Beating the Odds. And talk peace, man. Love. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And join us again next week.